I don't know compared to what you're doing there. That sounds so interesting. It does. And I put on my best cologne for you all tonight, and my fan's blowing all the nice stuff away. So anyways, I'm gonna speaking on just balances. And I'm going to be in Proverbs 11:1 before we start in prayer here. So it's Proverbs 11:1. I'm going to put that. I'm just I've got you all up on another screen here, and I want to make it a bit bigger here. Okay, so it's Proverbs chapter 11, and I'll get praying right around Psalms there. Okay, so I'm just going to start in prayer. Lord, we do make sure everybody's okay there. Yeah. Lord, we do thank you for this time together around your word. We praise you and we bless you, Lord. I come only before you, only because, Father God, because of your son Yeshua and his shed blood of atonement, because of his crucifixion, death, burial, and his resurrection, Lord. Thank you so much, oh God. Thank you for giving us of your Holy Spirit. We put our faith and trust in you, Lord. Please forgive me. Please forgive us those things that aren't right, Lord. You know, you see us. There's nothing hid from you, Lord. So we pray this time, all in the worship and the word and the fellowship together, that you get all the praise that's due your name. Lord, please help us speak to our hearts. You know everybody here. You know all our situations, Lord. Please teach us by your word here, Lord, as we look at your word, Lord. And so we pray for those that need that touch of healing, captive set free, and salvation of souls. We do pray, oh Lord. Pray for again for Steve as well as he does these series, as he does his sermons, Lord. Please help him, and just for help all here, we pray. Thank you so much in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Let me just put this over here. There we go. So it's not what I'm doing here. It's not. It's there's been a lot of things going on in the country and injustices. A 2-3-tiered system. We see somebody does something, it means a lot. Somebody else, it doesn't mean anything. Passing things against with believers and all that. But we're not going to go into that. I just want to look at some of the scriptures. Just a reminder. It's going to be just a regular. A thing on this, because it's something that's current. It's been happening all around us, and we see this 2-3-tiered system happening. So I'm just looking into what the Lord thinks of that, and we know these things. But again, just a reminder here. So we see in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. A just weight is his delight. So I'm just going to look at that for a bit, pick it apart a bit, and then go on. So we see this a false balance or mirmah. It's something that is deceiving. It is fraudulent. It is crafty. We see these, they're passing these crafty laws now. It's feigned. It's hypocritical. It's contrived. It's insincere. You see the millions of speed cameras from years ago. Little to do with speed. More about which have admitted stealth tax and spying and stuff like that. And this mirmah or this falsehood. This is a subtle. And Genesis 3:1. I can read this now. The serpent was more subtle, or he was arum. That's the word arum. The nachash and arum. The nachash is the snake. Or he was crafty. He was cunning. We see what's behind these things. He has to do with bareness, nakedness. We see today people more and more naked, less and less dressing, less and less clothing. This is where he draws people. Then any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto woman, yea, hath God said, shall he eat of every tree of the garden? So we see this deconstructing the faith. Seminaries that you go in and you're a believer and you come out and you're not. This higher criticism and all this and that kind of thing. So it's again, is making bare naked the faith once delivered unto the saints, a great falling away from the truth of God's word and these end times. At the same time, it's the same time God is bringing Israel back into her promised land before Messiah's return. I try to get a lot of people to look at this because they're not. I go in places, I speak to people, they know a lot more than I do, but somehow they just never look at this. You know, that when you look at what's going out in the Middle East and all this and all that, basically it's against the Lord and his anointed. The Lord's coming back, and as the devil tried to stop him the first time, he's going to try and stop this time as well, because it's his end. And they just don't seem to be looking at that. I love to hear Steve speak on that. And then it's also just balance. And it's an interesting word with this balance here. Has to do with ears or Oznaim. It's Mosnaim, which are Ozan is an ear, Oznaim are ears. So you have a pair of ears, but it means scales here. And you have a pair of ears. You know, you listen to one side, you listen to the other side, you get this honest report instead of biased, instead of a biased report. You're listening to the facts, all the facts here. And also it has to do with weighing. You know, you're weighing it up instead of like today's lying media propaganda. You know, they've got a certain narrative and that's it. The stuff that is going on between Ukraine and Russia, where you might have 30,000 in one side killed in a month, and you hear nothing. You hear nothing about it. And about this is an abomination. False balance is an abomination or tovah. It's disgusting before the Lord. It's morally disgusting. It's an abhorrence before him, and especially idolatry. And you can go in churches and they'll be full of idols. It says it's an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight, a just weight. And it's interesting, this word just, later on we'll be looking at the word tzedek, which is just, but this is the word shlema or shalem. This has to do with shalom, but a just weight, it's a complete, it's full. You know, you go to have a full service and you go in there and they're friendly, and they're not just, you find a place where they're friendly, they're not just friendly because they want your money. They're actually, when you talk to somebody else, the main dealer was 400. When you talk to this guy, it's 200. You know, and it's the same work being done, you know, and so it has to do with perfection. It's quiet. You know, when I go to pay the bill, it's going to be quiet. There's not going to be an argument here. This is a good deal. You know, this is a just thing going on here. He's got to make a living, but he's not trying to rip you off. It has to do with wholeness. And then that weight, he loves just wait, and that's the word Evan. You get the word Ben in there, which is son, has to do with son. You know, that's the son of righteousness, you know. Also, to build, Binyan is a building, and you're building, and it's through the meaning to build. It's a stone, and Evan is a stone. And this is how you build lives in this just balance. This is how you have rock solid societies. Because they have a just weight. They have a just weight. And then we see here, it says, Evan is a stone, you know, the stone which the builders rejected, whose national rejection made the whole house unsafe, didn't it? And the whole house crumbled. But by unconditional covenant, now brought back to the land of Israel, the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. That's Exodus 33:1. Saying unto thy seed will I give it. But balancing that off, Ezekiel 36:22, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel. O house of Israel, who right now is fighting God. Fighting God. But for mine own holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. So with this conditional covenant bringing back. But there's conditions as well. If you're bad, you're out of the land. But bringing them back this time for Messiah's return. Time to receive that stone. that rejected stone. That plummet has to do with a plummet as well, where it's straight, isn't it? You're going to build a house, you have a plummet line, and it's going to be straight. And that is his delight. That is his ritzono. It's his delight. It's his acceptable to him. That is his favor. That is his good pleasure. That is his will, that we have these just balances. This is the God we serve. All through Scripture, the God of Israel shows himself to be just. He shows himself to be righteous. He shows himself to be true. God never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Neither does his standard for all. It's the same. For the Holy One of Israel, unequal measures there are an abomination to him. False scales, a two or three tiered system of judgment that we see more and more going on in this country and in other places as well. It's an abomination before God. So we know that. Not only condemned commercially, not just commercially, that there's falsehood there, but also in the congregation, also in the governments, also in the leadership, also in personal relationships, needs to be just, doesn't it? We know these things. I'm just reminding ourselves as we see these things going on in the country and the country going down. This wonderful, wonderful country going on in America, going on all wrong. Repeatedly, the Hebrew scriptures declare that just balances aren't just how to act in business, but show God's very character. So Leviticus 19, we can turn to Leviticus 19. We'll stay there for a while. I might jump around, but we'll stay there for a little while. Leviticus 19, 36, and then it's going to be, I'll read 35 after that. And of course, we're in the law. We're in the Torah here. This is the law. This is the Torah. First five books of Moses here. We see Leviticus. I try to find places that are easy to find. This is the beginning of the book. Something maybe near the end or something. So Leviticus 19:36. There's a lot of verses, so we can't turn to all of them. It says just balances again. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin. Okay, that's the word tzedek, 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 tzedek. So now we're using the word tzedek here for justice here. Life's necessities here. We're seeing the ephah and the hin and talking about grain, weighing grain and weighing and the bread and the drink. Shall you have? I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. He brought him out of the land of Egypt, which was full of injustice. And he brought him into a place and he gave him justice. And Egypt was there were the tiered systems and the pyramid systems, not one law for all. God identifies himself as just. And that's how his followers need to identify themselves to have fellowship with God. We want to have fellowship with God. We must be just. We must be doing justly. Because he is just, his people must be just. And if we're hanging out with bad company, one becomes bad. Yes, and labeled bad. Even if you're not doing bad, if you're hanging out with all the bad folks, you're going to be labeled. That doesn't mean you're preaching the good news to them, like the Lord did, but you're hanging out. And then my question is, who are the false prosperity preachers hanging out with? Who are they hanging out with, huh? And you know what? Wolves run in packs. Wolves run in packs. They'll eat each other up as well, but they run in packs after after their victims. And verse 35, ye shall do no unrighteous judgment in meat yard. In meat yard. I love the English, you see. I always have to look the words up. You see? And of course, you got in Hebrew, it's meat, midah. Midah is a measure. Okay, you shall do no unrighteous judgment in measure or in standard there, in weight or in measure, it's telling us. So we see the relationship between judgment and measurement and that dishonest scales. It doesn't just have to do with money. It just doesn't have to do with money. There's more than that here. We can use high standards to judge and condemn others while using low standards for ourselves and for our families and for our favorites. Who's our favorite preacher? Who's our favorite preacher? Oh, don't, don't say nothing. Don't test him. Don't test that person. No, don't test what? But we see in 1 John 4:1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world." And also sources of music. Where is a lot of the music coming from? Watch, because the music, they've had cults in the past. They've had the best music, and they spend the most money, and they got the best singers, and it's so wonderful. And they're bringing you into false doctrine, and they're bringing you into a cult. Many times before. And I remember a guy from America years ago when there was this Toronto curse going around, says it's going to come to America. It went from Canada, then over to England, and they came back. And I always remember what he says: no matter what the razzmatazz, and I've said this before, no matter what the razzmatazz is, what are they preaching? What are they teaching? That's what we have to look at. Forget all this. I can watch a movie and they put some kind of, they just play a certain type of song and I'll be crying. And the person's a thief and a murderer. You know what I mean? Then you analyze, you come back and say, wait a second here. It can even make you cry. Okay, now that the tears are gone, what really went on here? What are they really saying? And then Deuteronomy 1, 17. Well, I'll read this for you because we're going to be in Leviticus 19. 15. I'll just go here for you. Deuteronomy 1:17 says, "Ye shall not respect persons in judgment. You shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of a man, for the judgment is God." So people that judge it, if they're judges as well, especially not politically biased judges or controlled by the politics. But it's a judiciary that is not biased, and it's not controlled. You will make the judgment that I tell you you will make. Not supposed to do that. God's standard is truth. Leviticus 19:15, "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor," because it can turn itself around too. Oh, they're poor. Oh, they get a, a week. No, it says no. "You shall not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shall thou judge thy neighbor." In righteousness. A two-tiered system is an abomination before God. The same law must apply equally. And then the law, the Torah, again, back in the Torah, Numbers 15, 16. Numbers chapter 15, verse 16. We're back in the law again here. That law that so many years ago was condemned. No, the law. You're under the law. You're under the law. Yeah, we can, but you go too far with this. We're not lawless either. We're not lawless either. And that's what's going on in the country. Oh, you're under the law. We don't have no laws, Remember Jacob the Twister? Jacob the Twister. Remember all those years of Jacob the Twister? He kept going around. Oh, he's a twister. Where in the Bible does it say that? It says that he's Ishtam, is perfect, is whole. Only three people in the Bible, Jacob, Noah, and Job, are called Ishtam. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. In Numbers 15, chapter 15, verse 16, "One law and one manner shall be for you and for this stranger that sojourneth with you." One manner. Isn't that wonderful? Going to a place where there's this one law. There's this one law like that. Okay. And the prophets, they risk their, I'm going into Amos chapter 8, verse 4, but you don't need to, I'll read that for you. The prophets risked their lives warning against corruption when Israel turned from God's standards. Amos chapter 8, verse 4 says, "Hear all this, O you that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail," monopolizing everything, putting small businesses out of, and contractors and farmers out of work for greed. And verse 5, saying, "When will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn?" It's all about selling all the time. "And the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat." making the ephah small, things bought, making them small, and the shekel great. You know, have you noticed today you're paying more for less? You know, every time Barbara, my wife, every time you go in the store, there used to be five, not four. You know, there used to be six, not four in the pack. You know, and they're smaller as well. You know, okay, and falsifying the balances by deceit. And I can remember, this is just a small, this is just by the side, because you see, mammon is their god, but this is just to the side. I know when I was growing up as a kid, if you bought something that was chocolate, let's say they made a mold out of something, and you bought something that was chocolate, they filled the mold in those days. They filled the mold. And when you bit into it, it was solid chocolate. And they did actually decided to turn the mold upside down and just put the salt chocolate around the mold so that when you bite into it, it's hollow. Very, very tricky. They saved a lot of chocolate there, didn't they? Remember when they used to give you the bags in the supermarkets? Well, they could have replaced it with paper bags, couldn't they? No. Thinking all the time. 7 days a week, oppressing those working hard, long hours to make a crust, to make a living. And God, he sees the scheming. God, he sees the unequal scales, the powerful enriching themselves while burdening others. We see a small elite going on here. It's happened in the past. It's all happened in the past. You know, you're all going to have things equal. No, actually, if you're in the party, you have. If you're not in the party, you don't have. And that many are in the party. It just turns it around. A small elite gobbling it all while impoverishing, enslaving the rest. God's judgment was sure. We're going to go to Proverbs 20, but I'm going to be here in Micah 6, 11. I'm trying to make it easy on you on this hot evening here. You know, this is Micah 6, 11. Says, shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? Shall I count them pure? No, he's not. God sees all injustice. He doesn't redefine righteousness to help human exploitation, to help the sleaze or corruption, to help dishonesty or fraud. Okay? And Proverbs 20, 23. And I like to tell people, especially on a hot time, that we've just gone over to halfway here. Okay, so that I know when I'm sitting somewhere and I don't mean to do it, but I find myself dozing, you know. So that's nice to know. I wonder how, you know, it's nice to know where someone's at here. So we just went over to halfway here. Proverbs 20:23. Again, it's just reiterating this, you know, reiterating. I probably learned that here in England, reiterating. Just repeating it here. Diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord. Diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord. And a false balance is not good. So we see diverse weights, speaking of having one standard for one person, another standard for another, or essentially, what is it? It's a two-tiered system. It's a two-tiered system, which we see going on. God calls it an abomination. Matthew 7, 2. Maybe we go to Matthew 7, 2. It's an easy one to find. Matthew 7, 2. Going into the Brit Hadashah more, into the New Testament. The Messiah is speaking this here. Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus is speaking this here. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 2. Okay, Matthew 7, verse 2. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And what measure ye mete, again, the word mete yard, remember that word mete yard? With what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. It shall be measured to you again. Okay, our Lord Yeshua taught that God uses a just balance. He never changes. It's his very character, not just doing right, but he is right. His being is right, and he wants us to be right. He wants us to be right. To be right. I love looking up these English words in the Hebrew as well. But not only in the Hebrew, but I have to look them up in the English, you know, because the English are really smart. The British are the you know, it's when we were chopping down trees and just saying timber, like had Shakespeare to everybody, so it's very educated, and I love it. I love to learn it. Anyways, so our Savior not only does is he just doesn't not only doing right, he is right. The measure we apply to others will be applied to us. And this doesn't mean that we don't judge, okay? Because the opposite side is, oh, you're not supposed to judge. Well, it doesn't mean we're not supposed to judge what's right or wrong or not be discerning. 1 Corinthians 2:14. I can read this for you. 1 Corinthians 2:14. For the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man receives not the spirit of the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They just think what you're talking about is foolish. The world just thinks it's foolish. And why is that? Neither they can they know them. They can't know the things of the Spirit of God. Why not? Because they are spiritually discerned. Because it's discerned by God's Spirit. It's discerned by God's Spirit. Someone can read the Bible and say, it's like a book. It's just like any old book, because it's discerned by the Spirit, isn't it? Well, we know this, but just reminding us, isn't it wonderful? And you look at the Word of God, it's just alive year after year after year. Read that Word over and over and over. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I was just looking at this today, this morning, just going over, Sister Barbara, it's, just, even when I'm just studying it, look, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And it just lifts you up. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. But not being hypocritical, we see that Christians are being murdered by the millions. They're being murdered by the millions all over the world. Forget how many a day in Nigeria. Where is the quotes Pope? Where is the Anglican Archbishop? Where are the bishops? Where is Christendom? Is there no interest in this? But if you shoot, at or dishonor a idol or a statue, if you do that, the heads of Christendom are right there to condemn, even if it's taken care of right away. Why are all these things going on in Russia and the Ukraine? You don't hear nothing. You know why? No Jews, no news. No Jews, no news. Isn't it? What's going on here? But anyways, the Bible said that would happen. And the focus is coming to Jerusalem, just as our Lord said would happen. The Apostle Paul states in Romans 2:11, for there's no respect of persons with God. There's no respect of persons with God. The judge of all the earth doesn't judge with favoritism. He doesn't need to bend the rules, nor is he in awe of anyone's rank or of their status to overlook their sin. He's not afraid of anybody. He's not afraid of anybody. The demons quake at our Savior. However, believers are commanded, and I can read this in James or Jacob or James chapter 2, verse 1. He says, my brethren, and James or Jacob chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, so he's talking about believers here. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, the Lord of glory. They don't have the faith. And they're my brethren. They don't, these believers, they have not the faith of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, the Lord of glory. Yes, with respect of persons. When it comes to dealing with respect of persons. Now, James or Jacob or James, he rebukes assemblies that honor the wealthy while dishonoring the poor, which is exposes the spirit of unjust balances. That is not the faith of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And verse 4, James 2, verse 4, are you not then partial in yourselves and have become judges of evil thoughts? The kingdom of God is one standard of righteousness, has one truth, one lawgiver, one judge, one Messiah. God is just. And he is patient. God is just and he is patient. But without real repentance and a turning away from evil comes judgment. Today is the day of salvation. We die today, then comes the judgment. Then we need to come to the Savior. His shed blood of atonement, his crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection, his righteousness put onto us, or imputed, put onto us. Nothing of our own can we bring. Wonderful, isn't it? God will vindicate his holy name. And we see, look what's happened to his own covenanted people. Unconditional covenants. But look what's happened. God is bringing Israel back to her land. But historically, what suffering? What suffering? And Moses said this to us in the Torah, in the first five books of Moses. What would happen if we were disobedient to God's word? A national rejection of Messiah. Now, though, through much birth pangs that will be in Jacob's trouble that she will be delivered out of. She will be delivered out of. We see in so much trouble right now, and it's only going to get worse. But she's being hedged in where she won't be able to look to America or anywhere. She'll have to look up. She'll have to look up, won't she? Wonderful, wonderful. And it's heading towards Messiah's national acceptance. There will be a national summit as nations who once said they knew the Lord, nations that said they knew the Lord, you say, oh, that's a nation that knows the Lord, as they say, we know the Lord, lining up today with Satan, the accuser, accusing Israel at every turn. Accusing believers at every turn, accusing. He is the accuser. Le Satan is to accuse. He is the accuser. And that's what we see doing with all this media. That's what it is. That's the hiss behind it. Lining up with him and his son, Antichrist, against the Lord and his anointed. Romans 11, 25, we can turn to, you know this. I'm sure you've heard this many times before, but just to remind us here. I haven't got much left. About 7 minutes. About 7 minutes. I'm not sure how long we go. But anyways, Romans 11, 25. You know this, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Blindness in part. They see that Yeshua, they see that Messiah must be reigning on David's throne. So how could Yeshua, how could Jesus be the Messiah if he's not reigning on David's throne? Because it's still coming. That's why. So you can say, yes, he, oh, you believe that he, in the synagogue, in the Orthodox synagogue, oh, you believe that he reigns on David, he's going to reign on David's throne. That's right. That's right. Why is it? Because there's two comings. He dies for our sins first and rises from the dead. It's the sin issue first. The suffering servant. Then he comes to reign on David's throne. Well, they see that he reigns on David's throne. And yet in many places and congregations and churches, they don't look at that at all because they've had centuries of not looking at it. It's part of our job in love, you know, getting beside people and just saying, I mean, you know so much more than me, but just, have you ever heard this before? You know, he comes to reign on David's throne. Where do you see that? Oh, here and here and here, you know? And that's the job, isn't it? That's part of our job, isn't it? It's a whole job. It's a whole thing here. And it says here, where am I at now? Okay. Until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Blindness in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And so all Israel shall be saved. That's why we can pray into that, because we know it's going to happen. Because when God says something, it's going to happen. And nothing is going to stop it. Or stop him. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. The deliverer. Yes. There's deliverer. I wonder who that is. Feet on the Mount of Olives. I wonder who that is, huh? Our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Because like any nation, look what they were just hosting just the other week over there. For this is my covenant unto them. Well, it's a covenant relationship. When I shall take away their sin. See, God delights in honesty. He delights in fairness. And renowned in Britain. Super renowned in Britain. I've told you this before. I've said this to people before. You know, I was, when I come out of the army in America, and I was used to take orders. And when I went to work, well, you take orders. You know, someone might say, well, you know, instead of having 10 minutes for our break, you know, because by the time I get my sandwich, you know, how about if we have 15? If you don't like it, there's the door. Just shut up. You know, that's how it was. Oh, that's how it is, you know. And then I work here in England, and I see these guys in there. They're complaining to the people who are in authority. And I thought, well, are you allowed to do that? Could you say something, you know? And they're telling me, you know, when I get in there a lunch break, we're not even getting a cup of tea. We're not even getting a tea, cup of tea. And the supervisor comes over. Oh, now we're in trouble. Now we're in trouble. And he says, "What? You're not getting a cup of tea? Well, you got to get a cup of tea." You know, I thought, "What? The supervisor saying that? You got to get a cup of tea? Sign me up for another 20." I never heard anything like this. This is the supervisor. See, there was this fairness. I was in Toronto. I was in the airport, and it was so hot in there. They had these trolleys coming out, and they're running over your feet and everything. And people were grabbing them, and this, oh, it was awful, you know. And then I got to the near the front of it. They went right over my feet out of the ground they come. And I thought, oh, I'm never gonna get one. And there's these people at the end, and where are they? They're, well, here's a trolley for you, and here's a trolley for you, and here's a trolley for you. And I thought, what's going on here? They were from Britain. Because the people standing there were from Britain, you know. And I can remember, well, I used to live out in the Middle East, and you had to show them that you were crossing the road. Here they had these things that I went to cross the road, and all the cars stopped. I thought, what's going on here? For me? You're stopping for me? You know, thank you, thank you. You know, it's a zebra crossing. You know, it was a fair play here, wasn't there? We see things going here. God delights in equal judgment at home and in congregations and courts and business and governments and countries. Just like 3 minutes left here. He calls his people to reject unequal standards and embrace righteous judgment. And as followers of Messiah, may we walk according to the character of the God of Israel, who judges righteously, and whose balances are always just. We don't have to go along with this society. We don't have to go along with who are turning from godly principles. We turn to them. One rule for one, another rule for another. No. Ephesians 5:3, and that Ephesians 5:3. We'll turn there. Just a couple minutes left here. I'm going to go in Romans 6:22. I'll just read that for you. But Ephesians 5:8, because I want you to be able to get a drink and just enjoy the evening as well, your Shabbat. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Isn't that wonderful? You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We have to set our minds to do that, don't we? The fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Isn't that wonderful? And righteousness and truth. And truth. So we know it's wonderful. Oases, these are places like the tree of life, and that oases of light that people who love the light are drawn to fellowship with in this dark world. Isn't it wonderful? Even on Zoom here, and we can get to together. And if you meet in ones and twos and threes, it, you know, in twos and threes and stuff like that, you know, that's how, when I lived in Israel, that's how it was, that there were no the congregations. And it's wonderful what one other person or 200 person can do. Isn't it wonderful that we have God's word inspired by his Holy Spirit to guide us into what to believe? All these things, what should we believe? Now it's all yoga and all this. They're bringing everything in. You know, what should we believe? It's wonderful we can be guided by his Holy Spirit as to what to believe, and to be corrected by God's Holy Spirit, and to show us how to be overcomers. And empowered by things in our lives by God's Holy Spirit, for those who have repented of their sins and put their faith in God's only begotten Son. His begotten Son is unique, Son. This is unique here. Our Savior, Messiah Yeshua, the only Savior of the world. There is none other. There is none other. That He made this world. He is the only Savior. Having our sins forgiven. Not facing an eternity of fiery damnation. I know they're going around telling you, oh, it's only symbolic. It's only a metaphor. It's not real fire. You know, even though our Lord tells you that it's fire. No, it's not nihilism. You know, no, it's an eternal damnation. Romans 6:22, just ending here. Romans 6:22, I'll read this for you. but now being made free from sin, free from sin. I can remember it is coming to the Lord. He just lifted right off of you all these thoughts and all these things that were weighing you down. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it ourselves. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Things come in your mind. We go to the Lord and He lifts it. And you think that is miraculous. And become servants to God. We are His servants. We are His slaves. Wonderful. We were slaves to sin. Now we're slaves to righteousness. Slaves to righteousness. You have your fruit unto holiness. Unto holiness. Walking unto holiness. Which the world hates to hear about holy. And the end, what is the end of all this? What is the end? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Yeshua, through Jesus, the Messiah, our Lord. Can't fathom it. We can't fathom eternal life. Finite minds, even when we're raised from the dead with new bodies, we're still finite. Cannot fathom what is everlasting life. We cannot fathom it. I talked to somebody about it the other day. Can't understand all this, but you know what? We will bathe in it. We bathe in His kindness. We bathe in His love. Yes, He loves you. I know He loves you, but you know why did He do? Why would we just bathe it? We don't have to understand all of it. This is wonderful. Why would I refuse something like this for nothing? I came from nothing. I'm going nowhere. This is what they teach you in the schools. Why would I want something like that? This is wonderful. For the gift of God is eternal life in Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord. God's gift that eternally keeps giving only through faith in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. Forever thankful to God, and we forever thankful to the Lord. Forever thankful to the Lord. Let's just thank the Lord in prayer. Let's just end in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord. We can't fathom what you have done for us, Lord. We thank you so much. And year after year after year, Lord, how you correct us and you keep us and you guide us, Lord, and you're in our lives, Lord. And we have that hope of eternal life in you, Lord. And we look for your glorious return, Lord. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. Meeting you there in the air, Lord, ever to be with you. Thank you so much, Lord. A glorious future and not left alone here, but we have your comforter with us, Lord. We pray for those that need that comfort, Lord. And those in Israel that have lost loved ones, Lord, we pray for comfort. We pray for the eyes to be opened to you, Lord Yeshua. And we heard Steve here say as well, Lord, from every tribe, nation, language, and tongue, Lord. And may we love you with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. Please help us, O Lord, to follow after you, our great shepherd of our faith. In Yeshua's name, amen. Thanks, everybody.